Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you for that. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for podcasting. Thank you for downloading the show. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago, Illinois, and it is such a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day, and I hope it's wonderful where you are, because it's certainly wonderful here. But as you probably know, Illinois is still... Wait a minute. There has been another African-American young man gunned down by the police. This just seems as though it just cannot stop. I mean, how much can we take? Another officer shoots an unarmed black man, a black teenager, black college student, unarmed. You know, I'm pretty sure there's some more details. We have to get into the details of that a little later on into the show, but this has just got to stop. I mean, well, anyway, let me move on. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on, it's rough. I mean, it is totally rough. Every time I look around, some black kid is being shot down by presumably a white police officer, and these guys still get to have their jobs. Anyway, this is George Wilder Jr. Follow me on Block Talk Radio, Facebook. I'm all over the place, Google. And as I was about to say, wow, it's hard to take. As I was about to say, this is the 34th or 35th day that the state of Illinois has been shut down. There's been no budget whatsoever, you know. And this guy, the governor, Bruce Rauner, of this state, Illinois, is constantly cutting social programs, and they are being gutted to the core. You got a lot of these programs that they're not only affecting people who are working, they're also affecting people with jobs. You know, I mean, these cutbacks are, you know, people are losing their jobs. People are losing their safety net. I mean, you got the homeless, you got the middle class, you got the people who are struggling out here, and he's just constantly cutting programs. And he wants the legislature to give him what he wants, and all he wants is to cut more programs, right? Bus unions. So that's, I don't know. I mean, the world has just gone damn mad. What can I say? You know, it's just not right. You know, it's just totally not right. I mean, homeless programs are going. Illinois is hurting. I mean, this guy, Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, he does not understand government. It has been said so many times. He never held a government office in his life. What is he doing being the governor of Illinois? He bought the government. He bought it. His money. I mean, he used his money to buy the government. And that's the reason for this. And you can also say people didn't vote like they were supposed to. So this is what you get when you don't do what you're supposed to. You don't do what people have died all over the world to give you the opportunity to do, and that vote. So we get guys like these who come in. I didn't vote for the guy. I, you know, other people did. I knew better, you know. So so that's me, you know. I mean, that's me. All right, I don't want to keep her on the line too long. I'm pretty sure this is Sabrina Frazier, and she's going to be talking about relationships. I'm going to bring her in right now. Okay, here we go. If we can do that, you on the line?
I am.
Hello?
Hi. Okay.
Good afternoon, George. It's so, okay, it's, you can say good afternoon or good evening or, you know, whatever. It's nice talking to you again. It really
Likewise.
Is. You, huh?
Likewise.
What'd you say? Okay, yeah. It's
likewise.
Very nice talking. Yeah, likewise. It's very, very nice talking to you again. I just knew, I said, I got to talk to her again sometime, you know. And we're going to be talking about relationships. And I'm pretty sure you're well-versed on that, right?
yeah, I guess.
Okay. Oh, we'll see. Okay, I did use the word brash. And in some cases, you know, as an author, you can have more than one meaning for a word. And, you know, it just means that you're outspoken. That's what I take it to mean, outspoken, not afraid to say what you think, and I'm pretty sure you're going to do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Sabrina Frazier on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and she will be talking about relationships. This is going to be fun. I think so. Anyway.
I'm ready.
Okay. Huh?
I'm ready.
You ready?
Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In your own words, what is a relationship? And we're talking about, when we say relationship, we're talking about between a man and a woman. Okay, what is your thoughts on what a relationship really is?
All right. Well, I think a relationship, romantic relationship between a man and a woman, involves
yes.
two people who are on the same page. They have agreed that they're going to be committed to each other. They're going to respect each other. They're going to have each other's back. It's a mutually beneficial arrangement
mm-hmm.
between them.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And a lot of times you're not going to find that because, you know, sometimes you can think you're getting into a relationship like that and over time it unwinds. But I guess that's something that just happens, you know. So do you, I mean, I grew up a lot of women because I have a lot of women in my family. There's more women than guys. And, mm-hmm. you know, I used to hear them talk a lot, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and I used to hear not a lot of times I was trying to intentionally listen to conversations. I would just kind of walk past and I would hear these things and all the and you know about guys and stuff like that. And they would always say men are dogs. They cannot be trusted, you know. And I didn't think anything about it. How do you feel about that?
Well. First of all, I do not believe that all men are dogs. I do believe
exactly.
that some men behave that way. They don't have to, but that's mm-hmm. the choice that they make. I also believe that women who embrace that belief system of all men are dogs are women who've been hurt by a man or who've seen other women hurt by dogish men. And so mm-hmm. they think that this is what should be expected from a man. This is the expectation, and a lot of times when you expect that from a man, that is what he lives up to. And so I go into any relationship that I have, it's always expecting the best. I'm putting my best foot forward. I'm expecting him to put his best foot forward. And when I realize that he is not or that he's having these dog-ish or dog-like tendencies, then I go ahead on and address it then because, you know, just like you said earlier in the introduction, George, life is too short. It's so hard out here and so much is going on all the time. Tomorrow is not promised. Who has time to spend with someone who's going to dog them out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the best thing to
yeah.
do is to try to recognize those tendencies early in the game and deal with it accordingly. The sooner you deal with it, the better.
Yeah.
That's my motto.
Yeah, I do think that some men are dogs. Some men are, I don't like to say dogs, some men are unfaithful, and they're just that way because they can be that way. And as we mm-hmm. all know, there's more women out here than men. And mm-hmm. and some women, some men just have their, you know, way with women, you know. So there mm-hmm. are some that are, but I just take issue with it that all men are dogs. I would probably say 75% of men are dogs in some
no.
way. You know, because I have known some. I have known some. But that's a high percentage, George.
As a man, you think 75% of you all are? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but 25% are just great. And, I mean, that's what I think. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's me. You know, that is a high percentage. I could reverse it and say 25% of men are dogs and 75% are just, you know, people. But that's just me. So if you're just, you know, people disagree with that, then that's fine. That's what it's all about. Anyway, do you think finances play a part? I'm trying to change the subject real fast. Do you think finances play a big part in a relationship?
I absolutely do. I believe mm-hmm. that finances or the lack thereof can have a serious impact on a relationship. But I also know that when the finances are low, and if the guy is very mm-hmm. creative, you know, it won't affect the relationship as much. There are many things that you can mm-hmm. do that don't require any kind of money. Walks in the park, picnics mm-hmm. in the backyard, picnics right in the living room or at the floor of the bed. It's so many things that you can do that don't require a whole lot of money. Sitting at night outside, just in the grass on a blanket, looking up at the stars. Those are things that give to women's hearts. Those little things, at least to a woman like me. Those are things that show a man's love, his creativity, show that he is able to think beyond what his bank account looks like or what's in his pocket mm-hmm. or wallet. I love when someone is being creative, and I certainly understand the struggle I've had. And so I understand when money is short or, you know, what have you. And I don't hold it against a man because he may be going through a lean time in his life. I don't do that because I understand that that is a person. And just like I'm a person, you can, you know, have moments where you're doing very well and some moments you're not doing so well financially. But some women, they would not date a man if he doesn't have a certain level of financial stability going on. That's just true. For some women, it's a huge deal for them, for their man to always have this endless supply of money. They want to go on these fancy trips. They want to do all these fancy things. There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things. But you cannot base your whole relationship off of those things. What are you going to hold on to when the relationship, times of sickness, times where people are dying or some major thing is happening in somebody's life, a child is wounded or whatever like that, you know, those fancy trips are not going to comfort you. You need more in the relationship than just the money.
But, you know, some relationships, they depend on finances. Some people break up because of it. You know, and it's something, but you know, it's a vital part of a relationship because some couples are not going to deal with it. I mean, they want you know, some sort of stability in a relationship, and they feel that finances is a part of that.
And I do believe that finances is a part of it, but mm-hmm. I just don't think you need to make it the most important part. You understand?
Oh no, I don't think it's the most important part of it. I think the most important part of it is true love. I actually think that. Yeah. Yeah, how would you, from your stance, how would you deal with disagreements? There are so many disagreements in some relationships that just tear them apart.
Well, George, when it comes to me, the way I deal with disagreements, I always want to talk it out. I'm a person that mm-hmm. I'm very reasonable as long as you are respectful. I do not like shouting matches. That is not my way of talking anything out, seeing who can yell the loudest. I do not like to be yelled at. I try my best not to raise my voice at other people. So I'm someone who wants to talk it through. Let's, you know, try to come to some type of resolution. What is the best way to resolve this issue between us? What's your side? What's my side? How can we come to some common ground here? That's what I always look for. Now, I've learned something in being in relationships is that sometimes people don't want resolution. Sometimes they just want their way. So what do you do when somebody just wants their way? They don't want to resolve it. They just want you to give in, and they just want their way. Then that's another hurdle that you have to figure out how you're going to get around. Or, you know, how often does this person just want their way? Is this the way it's always going to be, where they're expecting you to bow down to what they want to do? It's all about them. The whole relationship centers around what they want to do. Relationships are very, very funny, and I say it's not so much I don't want to call it a game, but it's almost like chess. You have to make sure you're making the right move. If you want to stay in the relationship for a long time, if you want to preserve it, you don't want to do something that's going to devastate the other person. I call having negotiables in relationships and having non-negotiables. And non-negotiables are deal breakers. These are things that you said, these are my boundaries. Don't overstep them. If you do, I cannot be with you anymore. Some of my non-negotiables are you cannot, absolutely cannot be physically or verbally abusive to me. I will not tolerate that. It is one of my main, I will not deal with it. If you are somebody who's, you know, like that, you cannot have me. And I don't even tolerate dealing with a person like that, because I don't want someone beating on me. I had one abusive relationship in my life. He almost took me out of this world. And I had only been with this person for 6 months, and it was the longest 6 months of my life. And I almost died.
Wow.
I mean, literally, almost died. So, I mean, he hit me in the head with a gun, left me on the side of the street to die. It was just horrendous. Wow. And so I know what that's like to live in fear, or to have, be in a relationship with someone who, if another man compliments you or likes the way you look or look at you too long, instead of him getting upset with the man, he wants to get upset with you and act as if you made the man look at you. And now when you get home, you got to deal with all this verbal and physical abuse, and the police got to be called, none of that. So having experienced that, it didn't sour me against men, because I know all men are not like that, and I can't, it's wrong to take the experience of that one relationship and make all men pay for the fact that this one person did that to me. So I've always been, you know, quick to forgive and quick to say, okay, what can I learn from this, and how can I not repeat these mistakes of the past? And George, one of the reasons why I am free, you know, free to share a lot of my experiences on Facebook and other places, is because I want to save somebody else heartache and pain, the stuff that I went through. And I want to show women and even men signs to look for. If this is something, you got an anger management issue, get that taken care of before you get in a relationship with somebody. Because people are going to make you mad. They're going to get you upset. And you don't want, your first go-to is to swing on somebody. You're mad, so now she got to, you know, be slapped or slapped around and, you know, punched and stuff like that. A person like that does not need to be in a relationship with anybody. So, you know, that's one of my non-negotiables.
But, you know, it's a lot of women out here, a lot of young girls out here who are in relationships like that as we speak, as we talk right now. They're being abused, misused, beaten, treated. I have known people personally who have been beaten to a pulp by some guy, and they'll go right back to the guy. And I never understood that. And they would give all kind of excuses to why they're staying with someone who will abuse them. And I just couldn't understand it. There's no reason for you to stay with somebody who's going to treat you less than what you are. And you're going to say you love that person, keep saying you love that person, you got to stay with that person. because of the finances? Or I heard something. I heard one young lady say, I was just passing by. She said if her boyfriend did not beat her, that meant that he did not love her.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought
gosh.
That was just, I swear.
It's
I mean,
stupid.
He said if that is so stupid, and she said it out loud so everybody can hear it, as though if she deserves to be beaten. And you've got people out there like that who thinks that when he lays a hand on her, that she deserves it. And, you know, that's crazy. Because I always tell people if he beats you every night, misuses you, the next time he's going to come at you with a gun if you don't do something about it, because it has
exactly.
happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the police can't really do much when it comes to some guy stalking some girl that has a restraining order. Those they don't mean anything. You know, so domestic abuse is something that I've been talking about forever and ever. And I grew up around it. I used to see my auntie beaten to a pulp by some guy who weighed a lot more than she did. She was just skinny. He would come home and just start plummeting on her. I couldn't do anything because I was too little. He'd just take me and throw me to the side or something. But he would just beat the living slop out of her, and she did not do anything to deserve it. And I used to see, I have a lot of sisters, and I used to try to take up one of my sisters whenever her thuggish boyfriend started swinging on her, and she turned against me and took his side when I was trying to stop him from hitting her.
I've seen that as well. I have seen that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. All right. You got me going there because that's one of the things. Go ahead.
I was listening very hard to what you were saying, George, because I have seen that, you know, in my own life with people around me. I've seen women stay with abusive men for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, even when I was in that abusive relationship for that short period of time, I remember taking out the restraining order, getting the police involved and stuff like that. But I remember the fear. I remember thinking that there's no safe place from him, that the police can't watch me and protect me all the time. And he would tell me these things. You know, he would stalk me at my job. I mean, I went through the whole stalking thing where he would, you know, come to my job and just sit, you know, outside. I worked in the department store in the mall, and he would walk through there and he would watch what I was doing as I worked, just stalking me. He would stalk any buses that I rode on the way home if I got a ride from someone. He was just always, like, somewhere around. I never felt safe anywhere. And I just remember that feeling. And I remember feeling almost like, well, maybe I should just take him back, you know, because I can't get rid of him. And it seems it's this dysfunctional mindset that comes inside of a woman sometimes when she's been in fear for too long. She almost gives up on herself, and she almost feels as if there's no way out. Some women feel like the only way out is to take him out, you know. And so I've heard about women who've done that.
Or he's
going to
take you out, yeah.
Exactly. And I remember feeling that way, like, you know what, it doesn't look as if he's going to stop trying to be a bully to me. So I began to pray and ask God to take this man out of my life. And circumstances came about because he was into all these other kind of things as well. And circumstances came about that he had to quickly leave town. It was something he had done. The police was looking for him about something else he had done. And he had to leave town very quickly. And that was how I got rid of him. Was that I just prayed him out and God orchestrated that thing. But I know someone who's been praying for years. And what I say is just because that happened that way for me, their pathway to freedom and liberation may include them actually standing up. It may include them actually packing their things up when he's at work and leaving town altogether, get the kids and get gone, just, you know, disappear. Each woman has to decide how much she's going to take, for how long she's going to take, and get you a game plan to get out of that situation. Because as you were talking about your Aunt George and how she wouldn't do anything, and
how
this man would just abuse her. You know, he's mad with the world. He comes home and take it out on her.
I mean, this guy looked like he was he had muscles, and he looked like he was a prize fighter or something. And she was just as skinny, and she was nice. She was sweet as she can be. She didn't bother a soul. She always welcomed me, you know. And this guy, he would just come home every night after work and just, wow, you know. Okay, let's move right along because some of this stuff is just totally emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how important are looks? If you're looking for someone with good looks or whatever, how important is that?
I have actually come a long way when it comes to that, George. It used to be when I was much younger, I was into the pretty boys. the light skin, the quote-unquote good hair, wavy hair, you know, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just went through different cycles in my life. And I remember at some point waking up, I don't even know, was it in my 30s or when, but I remember, I think it was in my late 20s and 30s, where I realized that your bodies are going to change. I had heard that for years, beauty phase. But I realized that your body is going to change. The people that were so attractive in high school, by that 10-year reunion, they don't look the same. By that 20-year reunion, you really don't look the same, and you don't either. And so I realized that I wanted more substance. I wanted something that was going to last. And since beauty fades, I wanted a relationship with someone who wasn't all about their looks and didn't make it all about my looks. Do I want him to be someone that I can get up on without recoiling? Yes. I wanted to be able to look at him and not like, yikes, you know. But I also know that it's not everything. I want the beauty to be within. I want the beauty to be
only skinny.
Exactly, because that's the stuff that's going to last. That's the stuff that I can still count on when we're old. We're both old and gray, and we're wrinkled and all these things. I want that, and so I try to nurture all that stuff that's within me that's going to go beyond my looks in my later years. I thank God for gracing me to age the way that I've aged. I appreciate everything that he's done. I don't look like what I've been through, George. If I told you some things, you'd be like, oh, my God, really? But I know that I don't want someone who's just interested in me because of how I look. So looks are important, but they cannot be the most important thing. You can't base a whole relationship about how good a person looks or how good you look. That will only take you so far, unless you're just looking for a shallow relationship. Because we're all on Facebook, George, and I see a lot of Facebook relationships where if you see them out in public, those people don't look nothing like what they appear to look on Facebook.
They sure don't.
And
I
they don't
totally
even
agree.
Like each other.
They look nothing like. I have met some of them, and I said, wow, whoa. You're bigger than what you are on Facebook. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's and smaller or shorter or whatever.
Older?
Yeah, Facebook is a fantasy world.
And it sure is. And sometimes, I can't even have a hamburger or something when I'm on Facebook. I choke. I throw up some of the stuff I see. And
oh, my gosh.
It's true. It's something, the way the people are just so phony and fake, and the photographs. Yeah. If I put up a photograph, I try to put up something current, the way I'm looking now. And because, you know, like you're right, when you're age, you're going to start looking different. You know, you're not going to be the same. And a lot of people want to stay young, and that's impossible, you know. So, you know, so, and a lot of relationships do start. I haven't found a relationship on Facebook, and I'm not looking for one because I know how people can be fake on, so fake on Facebook, you know, putting up younger pictures of them 20, 30 years ago and saying, you know, whatever and whatever. Okay, so how important is sex in a relationship?
Well, George, Great question, first of all. I am celibate, and I have been celibate, uh-huh. practicing celibacy for ever since my divorce. It has been a struggle at times, but I have done my best to stay on course. And sex is very important to a lot of people. And, in fact, sex is very important to me. And it's so important to me that I took it out of the equation when it comes to me dating. I know that I'm grown. I know that I've been married before. I'm certainly not a virgin. I've had children and a whole bunch of other stuff. But I also know that when you bring sex into a relationship, it changes that relationship. And it blurs lines and it blinds you from things that you really need to see about that other person. If you've been in a relationship with someone and they're very good in the bedroom, they just are absolutely the worst outside of the bedroom. I mean, literally, the only thing they got going for themselves is what they do in the bedroom. So you end up staying with somebody longer than you need to because they're good in the bedroom. And that's it. You can't count on them to be there for you when you need them. If you ever get sick, they're not going to bring you any soup, any medicine. They're not going to come and hold your hand at the hospital. They're not going to do any of those things because they're only good for the bedroom. So sex is very important. And some men have actually, said, I can't date you anymore because sex. Because I won't, and
won't
I just
put
wave
out,
goodbye. Yeah. I don't even get upset with them about it anymore. I've been disappointed in them, but I don't even get upset about it anymore because of the fact that that is what they want. I get it. I told them from the jump that this is not something that I'm going to do. And some of them have tried to wait me out. Some of them have tried to change my mind. Some of them have tried to, they thought that they could do it, and they hung in there with me for as long as they could, and then they realized it's not going to happen after all, so let me go. And I just, I get it. I understand it's very important, especially
for me.
What
would you say to other women who are in your position and situation on that issue?
Who are celibate or who are single?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Celibate.
All right. So, women who have chosen to be celibate for whatever their reasons, mine was more spiritual as well as some practical things. There's too many diseases out here. I didn't want to expose myself to a lot of whatever's going on out here. But to any woman who has made that choice, I would say don't play with fire. And some of these things are things that I learned a long time ago. If you already know that you're not going to put out, don't get that man so heated and place him in a position to want to do it so bad, and then he ends up disappointed. You're frustrating the relationship because you're sending mixed messages. You're saying no for sex, but then you're doing everything up until the point of penetration. You understand? So don't play with him like that. I just feel like if you're not going to do it, don't play with him as if you're going to do it. These are things that I learned the hard way. Don't play with fire if you don't want to get burned. Do more group dating. If you're going to be celibate, do more group dating. That may keep some of the tension down. Involve yourself in a lot of different activities. Try to stay as busy as possible because it keeps me out of trouble. I am fully functional in every way, and I praise God for it, but I also know that I'm not going to let my hormones and my libido lead me around. And so when you know that it's, certain times in your life that you are a little bit weaker in the area than before, then you need to make sure that you surround yourself with people who can strengthen you when you're weak. I've actually dated one man, George, who I told him I was celibate, and he supported me through the celibacy. And when I was weak, he would be strong for me. And I appreciated that so much, that he would be strong for me, because there's a lot of men that would have taken a lot of advantage of me at that moment, But, this was somebody that I could trust. And to this day, he and I are, still friends and however. But this is, you know, someone who had my back. So I would just tell any woman that whoever you're dating, make sure that they're on the same page as you, that they, if they're going to hang around, if they really want a relationship mm-hmm. with you, you know, how you determine how far you're going to go in this relationship, because mm-hmm. understand that some men, they're just not going to wait forever for you. And if the uh-huh. relationship is just going to continue in limbo land, if it's not going to lead to marriage, if it's not going to lead to anything permanent, let that man go on about his business. I just feel it's mm-hmm. very important not to hold anybody's lives up while you're trying to do your thing and everything like that. If mm-hmm. this is somebody who's meant to be in your life, he'll stay in your life regardless of where your stand mm-hmm. is on sex. But mm-hmm. I would tell anybody, you know, make sure that you're not just saying these words because it sounds good to say, oh, I'm celibate. Make sure this is a life decision. It's just like losing weight. You have to make mm-hmm. it a lifestyle. And some days
yeah.
your willpower is going to be stronger than others.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, Sabrina Fraser on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, a couple more questions. If you can hang around and ask, if you can hang around for that,
okay.
Can you?
Sure, I can.
All right. Let me put it this way. How important is laughter and having fun in a relationship together?
That is very important on my list. I love mm-hmm. laughing. I just think that mm-hmm. it just gives so much to a relationship to be able to laugh together and to be able to laugh at each mm-hmm. other. You know, I'm one of those people when I'm in a relationship. Well, George, I'm the type of person that I like to have a lot of fun. I'm very creative. I'm mm-hmm. the type of person mm-hmm. that I would love to have family talent show night. So we get in here and we just do our thing. You know, and we're lip syncing it together, and we're doing all these things together, and we're having our own special kind of fun, things you could do to have fun in a relationship. And I just think that laughter is part of the glue that keeps you together. I just think it's so important to be able to share, you know, the joy and to want to put a smile on someone's face every day. It's high on my list. Whoever I end up with, God only knows, but it'll have to be somebody that we're able to laugh together a lot, because laughter really can
improve
the relationship. It's very important.
Yeah, yeah. How important it is for you to forgive or your partner to forgive if someone makes a mistake in the relationship?
That is also one of those things that should be high on the list. This is me just speaking my opinion. Mm-hmm. Other people can have their own opinions about
yeah.
it. But I know some people who, they keep score. There are people who keep score in their relationships. I think that's bad business. I really believe that it's hard for relationships to grow and grow healthy when somebody's always keeping score about what you did and they're just waiting for an opportunity to throw it back up in your face. I think forgiveness has to reign supreme, and I think that you need to forgive. Of course, you need time to sort through some things and digest some things and get over your hurt feelings, but I do think that forgiveness needs to be prominent in a relationship in order for you to go forward. I have seen some very sad couples who are well up in age, George, who are still holding, the wife is still holding bitterness in her heart against a husband that cheated back when they were 30s. They're in their 60s now. Are you kidding me? Why did you stay with them? Why stay with someone that you're going to harbor all of this anger and bitterness and resentment with? You forgive. If you're going to stay, forgive. And in fact, I say whether you stay or not, forgive. Because forgiveness is not just about the other person. It's about you being free. It's about you being able to grow. It's about you being able to heal from whatever that hurt and pain was. So forgiveness is not just about the other person. It's about you being able mm-hmm. to move forward in your own life and have your own peace. And I've forgiven people who didn't bother to apologize to me, George. They ain't thinking about apologizing to me. In fact, they don't even think they did anything wrong. And I've just forgiven them, whether they agree with the fact that they hurt me or not, because sometimes people hurt you unintentionally. I forgive them anyway.
Yeah.
It's okay, because I'm not going to let that clog up my life and my heart. So I think forgiveness is should reign supreme in a relationship, because why stay with someone and you have all of that clogging your soul about that person? Life's too short.
Yeah. Do you think a person should accept another person the way that they are?
Absolutely. Now, let me make sure that I understand what exactly you're asking when you say the way that they are. Because nobody's perfect, but we can all improve.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, that's what I'm saying. A person, I mean, if you're into a relationship, obviously you're going to accept everything about the person, or you're not going to accept everything about the person, you know.
Well, this is my belief on that, George. And again, it's just my belief. Mm-hmm. I think that when you enter into a relationship, you've decided we're going to be together, and you've got to know this person enough to where you see their flaws.
Right.
You have to take the good and the bad with the person.
Or no
can
flaws.
Can you deal with exactly? Can you deal with the good and the bad? Because they're going to bring it. Can you deal with all of their baggage, and can they deal with yours? So this is that accepting them for who they are, accepting them for, you know, what they are and what they're bringing to the table. Are you okay with these things? And are these things going to be negotiables or non-negotiables? Because nobody's perfect. There are women, for me personally, I would not date a guy with a lot of baby mamas. I just, he's probably a nice guy, but he's a nice guy for somebody else. I don't want to date a guy who has children all over the globe and just as many.
Like my father. Oops.
Okay. I don't want, because
I didn't mean to say that, so, because he might be listening.
Oh, my. Well, okay. Wow,
well,
that slipped out. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
blew me away, too.
Well, all right, dear. I just
go ahead.
That's just my thing. I don't want to date a guy with a lot of that type of drama. There are certain types of drama I can deal with. I feel anointed for. And when I say anointed, these are things that I feel the grace to be able to deal with and to address and to accept in a person's life. But there are some things that I know I'm never going to be okay with that. I will never be okay with a man with a whole bunch of baby mamas everywhere. I would never be okay with that, because that's a person who's emotionally unstable to me. That's a person who, for some reason, can't seem to make it work with women in his life. He has too many women on that level, and then all of these children are growing up in households without him. Why couldn't you make it work with all these 10 other women with these 10 other children? That's a problem for me.
Would you consider him a dog?
I would consider him a man with doggish tendencies.
Okay.
I would definitely tread very lightly. I don't care how he looks. He could be Denzel. I would not care how much money he has. There is nothing a man like that can say to convince me that I'm going to be any different from those 10 women that he's no longer with. I'm not foolish to believe.
Denzel is getting old.
Yes, he is getting old.
Yeah,
we all are.
Yeah, I think he's in his 60s now.
Probably. So,
yeah, he is.
whoever the latest hot stud is in Hollywood, he wouldn't be able to say anything to me either if he had 10 baby mamas. I just feel like there are some types of trouble that you don't need to invite into your life. He may be a great guy, and it may be a lot of great things about him, but that tendency to be a rolling stone is not an attractive feature for me. And so you got to know, what are you willing to deal with when it comes to a person's flaws, your past, and all these other things, and what you're not willing to deal with. With me, I already have children. So any man that dates me has to be someone who is okay. It's not going to come into my life and try to come between me and my children. It's somebody who is family-oriented and wants to embrace and blend the family instead of chopping off people in my life and saying it's just you and I and your adult children can't be around and, you know, those kinds of things. I would not do well in a relationship like that. I'm a family-oriented female.
Yeah, I am too. I'm family-oriented. I've always have been family-oriented. I've always been the kind of guy that wanted to be married. And I still do. Even though after my divorce, I still want to kind of, you know, I wouldn't mind getting married again because I'm not counting this bad relationship that's going to say the next one's going to be bad or the next one's going to be bad, you know. And
yeah,
I'm always looking, you know, and you're always looking for someone to who is family-oriented also because I have ran up on a lot of women who were not family-oriented. And, you know, and I'm surprised, you know, I said, wow, whoa, you know, because, and then I have ran up on a lot of some women who have brought a lot of baggage, and I don't really need baggage because, you know, I've tried to, you know, dump that a long time ago. So,
exactly.
You know, it is, and as for trusting somebody or taking somebody at face value or taking them the way they are, you never know a person really until you kind of in a relationship with them or you married them, and then their real flaws will come out, you know, because when you were dating them for 6 months or a year, you didn't see any of that. But finally, you finally got married, and all of a sudden that stuff starts coming out, and you get divorced, you know. So
wow.
I guess that's what happened to me. You know, that's what happened to me. I was in a loveless relationship, actually. I felt that that I could actually, over time, that I could actually fall in love with this woman that I married. Because when I married, I really did not love her. I was just doing
wow.
something like, you know, I'm getting old now, so I better do something. You know, life is passing me by, so I better. And that was the wrong way for me to think, okay? That was me being naive, but you know, you learn from that stuff, and you know, I've had my ups and downs too. You wouldn't believe it if you go, you know. So you know, and I've learned from that that you really can't really say that's going to be the person I marry right there, and because this person appears to you in the beginning to be the type of person that you want to get involved with. And after you get involved with this person for so long, and you even jump the broom with this person, all of a sudden you find out this person brings out so many negative things, brings so many negative things to the marriage where you have to do something about it. But I always say, you know, hang in there. Things will get better. You know, that special one is out there somewhere. You just got to hang in there. You never know. And
I have not given up on love. At all.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that love is a very wonderful thing. I write about it all the time mm-hmm. in my books and everything. And I just truly believe.
I know.
I just truly believe in love. And I want everyone to be happy. But more than anything, I want them to have healthy relationships. That's why I'm so outspoken, George. That's why I'm mm-hmm. not afraid to say whatever needs to be said at that moment on Facebook or wherever, or when I'm talking to people one-on-one, mm-hmm. it's because I want them to be in healthy relationships. It's too many people mm-hmm. sad. It's too many people who are miserable, but you're all together, but you're miserable. Both of you are just so miserable.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But you're still together, though. And I just,
mm-hmm.
for the sake of saying what, that you've been married X number of years, but you've been unhappy for the same amount of half of that time. Why? And I just think that if you're going to be with someone, you need to constantly be improving in your relationship. I think that you can never truly know a person 100% because I don't even know myself 100%. There are things that have come out of my mouth, George, that I never thought would come out of my mouth. And I was like, wow.
I read some of them.
Think that? And so, I mean, so you said, wow, I learned something about myself today.
Yeah, we all have.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah.
So you can never really know a person, but you should strive to learn as much as you can and love them. and love them.
Okay, what do you have to say? Exactly. What do you have to say for closing thoughts?
Well, that was actually part of my closing thoughts is whoever is listening, know that,
yes.
You know, of course, I'm no relationship guru or anything like that, but I am someone who genuinely cares enough about other people mm-hmm. to where I want them to be happy, and I will do, I'll write things in my books, I will speak at different engagements, I will do whatever is necessary to promote healthy relationships. I mm-hmm. want you to love each other the right way. This is you know, something that's higher and bigger than me. If you're going to love someone, love them the right way. Don't waste their time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to hold on to someone, hold on to them the right way. Some people you need to let go so they can fly, and you know you're holding on to them for the wrong reasons, and because you know you ain't going to do right by them, let them people go. I just feel very mm-hmm. strongly about that, is that
mm-hmm.
life is too short to be unhappy. One mm-hmm. second, it's too short to be unhappy.
Okay.
So I wish happiness and peace for everybody, and love each other with all your heart.
Okay, this is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You've been listening to Sabrina Frazier on relationships, and this show will be podcasted, downloaded, and this show will be promoted in all the social networking sites, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever's out there, Google. So you'll have a chance to listen to Sabrina Frazier if you missed the show. And thanks, Sabrina, for being here. I'm going to do everything I can to get this show out to make sure that people listen to what you have to say. Not me, but you. Okay. So thanks for being with me, Sabrina. All right.
Thank you so much, George. God bless.
No problem. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. That was Sabrina Frazier. Great, great guest. Always a great guest. I think this is her second or third time on the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for being a part of the show. I'm going to take a break right now. I will be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. Hey friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing, It takes time, preparation, and dedication. And most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause. The cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our time. Thank you very much. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. All right. Okay. That's for Mr. Tina Frazier on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you. Sabrina Frazier on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, now let's move on. Let's move on about relationships. Okay, where were we at? Okay, the state of Illinois is still shut down. We're still without a budget. People are being upended because of these social cuts. And it's devastating. It's devastating to families. It is devastating, totally. You know what? I'm gonna pivot a little bit because I'm looking at Huffington Post, and it's saying Donald Trump trips. The guy is just a wing nut. I mean, I'm looking at a photograph of him right here, and the guy he says some things to this Fox News moderator or reporter Megan Fox, she's a young girl, a young woman with four kids, I believe, three or four, I'm sorry. So he says that Trump trips. Let's see what it says here. Because Trump, he's something else. The guy is just, I don't know, he's a buffoon. What can I tell you? Donald Trump drawing fire from all corners of the GOP. Washington, rival Republicans with presidential candidates pile up on Donald Trump on Saturday for his caustic remarks about a female debate moderator and the billionaire celebrity candidate backpedaled in an effort to keep his campaign from unraveling. So he said some things about her that was totally off the cuff. He said her nose was bleeding and that she was bleeding from somewhere else. Yes. And that's all over the news, that she was bleeding from somewhere else. We can only imagine what he's talking about when he says she was bleeding from somewhere else. Trump is a buffoon. He's an idiot. He should not be nowhere near the presidential, the president, or the White House or anything. Trump blasted Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly during a debate in Cleveland on Thursday when she questioned him about insulting comments he had made about women. But that's Republicans in a nutshell. It's a war on women. I mean, Trump calls women slobs. He called them fat. Fat slobs. He just and now there's being a backlash against Trump. Backlash to his exchange with Kelly has threatened to knock the wheels off the bandwagon of support that had Trump leading in early polls in the race for Republican nomination. And it should be. He should lose support. He should be thrown out of the race, period, because there's no room for bullies, people like him. There is no room for this. You know, there is no room for bullies. Trump is a bully. We all know it. We saw it on television. But there's no doubt about it. He is the big reason why Fox News gotten so many viewers, 24 million viewers, is because of Trump and his outspokenness or his buffoonishness or his bullying. So, okay, here's... Asked about Kelly on CNN interview on Friday, Trump said, this is his quote, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever, We know what he's talking about when he means whatever, and that's below the cup. That's not right. He's talking about, you know, down there. That's what he's talking about. You know, so I'm not going to say this. Trump was promptly dumped from the keynote speaking role on Saturday night in Atlanta at an important gathering of conservative activists put together by the Red State Organization. So they're dumping him already. Everybody has dumped him. His business, his dealings, his buildings, his hotels, a lot of people are dumping him. He's losing money. He's still rich. I mean, he's going to always be rich. But the Republican candidates, Carly Fiorina, Scott Walker, Lindsey Graham, Rick Perry, George Pataki, denounced the comments on Twitter and in statements. I denounced them. The Republicans are ruining the democratic process with idiots and bimbos like this. If you think about the Republican debate that was held Thursday night on the 6th of August, they were up there. They were all buffoons, in my estimation, and in some other estimations pertaining to other talk show hosts. They were all buffoons. None of them actually really said anything. They was up there as a showpiece, trophies, maybe, because they were up there for 2 hours but barely said anything. They barely mentioned middle class, if they mentioned middle class at all, middle class people, up on stage. 17 Republicans. 17. Not one of them mentioned families, income, a better life for people who they're trying to seek their votes. There was nothing said about that. There was no connection to there was no talk about the economy. Nothing. No race relations. No talk on race relations. No talking on Black Lives Matter, which I just got through saying at the beginning of the show, another black kid, a prominent athlete, young African American, was unarmed, shot by a police officer. There was nothing about voting rights, and they're trying to take away voting rights every day, these governors in these southern states, because they want to suppress the vote. And the only way they're not suppressing the vote is some court or federal judge step in and say, hey, that's not right, don't do that. But the debate with these guys, I've said this in the show yesterday, and maybe probably before that, these guys did not talk about anything of substance. All eyes and all attacks were on Donald Trump. Eyes should have been on the American public. The only winners that came out of this debate on the 6th, August 6th, was Fox News, because they've got 24 million. It is stated that they received 24 million viewers, the most in history. Fox News won this. And they won it because of Donald Trump, because people were tuning in to see what the hell Donald Trump was going to say, what stupidness was going to come out of his mouth. And after he really laid into this lady, Megan Fox. I mean, I'm looking at his comment in quotes. Red State Chief said that he disinvited. They're dumping Trump all over the place. Okay, Donald Trump said, and I quote, I'm going to say this again. He's talking about Megyn Kelly, the Fox News moderator on Fox News, that was asking him questions while he was on the stage with the rest of the Republicans. He said, I think he tweeted this. He said, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever. And everybody knows what whatever means. Okay, I don't want to say it, but think about it for yourself. And all the Republicans are jumping on this guy because he's not fit for the White House, even though he's leading in the polls. A lot of people are giving him the lead because they like his brashness. They like his forwardness. No one buys him. He says what he wants to say. Yeah, he says what he wants to say, but he cannot say things that are going to degrade the process. the electoral process. You cannot talk like a bully, talk like a thug, talk like a gangbanger or something, or talk like, you know, this or that. But I'm hearing now that he's walking back his comments, but he cannot walk this back. Already been said. The damage has already been done, and I believe that he has hurt his brand. I believe he's through. I do believe he's through. I don't think the Republican National Committee want anything to do with him. You know, so Trump is in trouble. Now he's walking back his comments. You know, but we all know what he meant. He know what he meant, but he'll never say it. But we know what he meant. He was so pissed off at Megyn Kelly for asking him questions about women, calling women slobs and slobs and so on and so forth. I think he's damaged his brand. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I just had a great guest on, Sabrina Frazier, on relationships. I mean, I'm going to do everything I can to get this show out to let people hear it and hear her and hear her responses and my questions. And it was fun. It's always fun with her. And, you know, I'm always appreciative of having her on the show. And we're going to have more guests in the future. We're going to have guests, I believe, next week sometime. If not, then I can always pull up some clips and some videos, and we can listen to those on the show. But this show is an important show. This show is the talk of our times. You miss a show here, you will miss a hell of a lot. And you know, and if you miss a show, just archive it, download it. It's always here. It's going to be here. You can always find shows on my website, Block Talk Radio, or either my, you know, social media, stuff like that. So I'm still kind of reeling at Illinois still being shut down, and no one seemed to be in sight trying to do anything about it. We don't have a budget. We don't have a budget at all. And some of these state programs are shutting down. They're closing. People are being thrown out on the street. People are losing their jobs. And when I say people are losing their jobs, I'm talking about not just ordinary people. I'm talking about doctors, lawyers. Yeah, doctors, lawyers, sociologists, psychologists, people who take care of the mentally ill. These people are losing their jobs. And Rauner doesn't care. Just like Rauner doesn't know anything about government. He doesn't. He's not talking. He's not compromising. He's not trying to say. All he wants to do is for the legislature to give him power to bust unions and cut more and more and more and more. Rauner has to realize this is not Wisconsin. He's not Scott Walker. He cannot come in this state and just do anything he wants to do, turn it upside down. It's not going to happen. The man knows nothing about government, and he's so mean and angry and pissed off. You know, he wants to see people out on the streets. The thing with me, his wife stated many times during his campaign that she was a Democrat. Where is she in all of this? Why is she letting this happen? Why isn't she out there protesting against the things that her husband is doing or is not doing that's causing this state to go down the toilet if it's not down the toilet already? I just don't understand that. You know, I mean, I'm not the only one to feel that way. There's other talk show hosts that are saying, and I mean, people just don't like him. Seriously. He said people wouldn't like him. He got that right. I mean, people not only do not like him, they despise him. And he's okay with that. I mean, I don't think I could run a governmental office if I know that the people who elected me despise me. Why would any politician want someone to dislike them? I mean, how can you function in your job knowing that the electric, the voters, the people of the state do not like you? And he said at one point, he said he didn't care if they liked him or not. He doesn't care if he gets reelected or not. Oh, he will not be reelected. He doesn't have to worry about that. Bruce Rauner, governor of Illinois, he will not be elected. So that's That's not even to be discussed. We have to get deal with him right now. Police and the feds do not come in with the handcuffs. Because like I said in so many other shows, I think this guy is going to be handed out in handcuffs. There is something that he's doing that is against the law. It's got to be. I think if they... One of the things I think he should go to jail for is for not doing his job. It's for not being the governor of this state. He's going around signing a lot of stuff, but he's not signing what needs to be signed or not passing what needs to be passed, and that is a budget for this state. It is stupid for this state to have been shut down for 36, 37 days without a budget. And he acts as if there's nothing wrong while people are suffering. People are being put out. People are being upended. Jobs are being taken away. The more the state does not have a budget, the worse things are going to get. A lot of programs are shut down already. And let's say if he does sign a budget. Now, it's going to be rough to try to get those programs started up again. It's going to be something else. Seniors, the disabled, the middle class, working Americans, they don't have anywhere to put their kids when they're going to work. So a lot of the daycare centers have closed because of the funding ran out. Now, a lot of the people are going to be losing their jobs because they don't have anybody to keep their kids. So a lot of workers are going to keep their kids home all by themselves. They call them latchkey kids. That's against the law. I don't think you can keep kids home by themselves. You never know what's going to happen. But they can't afford the funding for daycare, child care has dried up and Rona doesn't give a damn. The funding for senior citizen services. Has dried up. The funding for rental assistance has dried up. This guy does not care. He doesn't give us. He's like every other Republican. If you ain't got it, you don't get it. You're out. He's something else. He is something else. And like I said before, and like other people have said, Rauner doesn't know how government works, and he doesn't give a damn. It's his way or the highway. He doesn't give care about how things are supposed to work. And I'm kind of disappointed in the legislature because they can offer subpoenas to Rauner staff and have them come before the General Assembly to answer a lot of goddamn questions. But they won't do it because Democrats in general are just spineless and fear. But I hope they stand their ground against this guy and not cave in to this guy. He's a bully, just like Trump. He's a bully. Most Republicans are bullies. You know, so this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I think I'm getting good at this, you know. I mean, I'll be right back. Let's see if we can clip something up right here. Oh, let's see. No, not that. Let's go on down. Go down. Go down. Go down. Go down. Go. Go down. Go. 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 Alrighty, right here. I will be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm gonna be right back. Yeah. All right. George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. I am back on the air. Thank you so much. Thank you for being there. I'm a little passionate today because, you know, it just seemed like the world had just gone crazy. I mean, it seemed like it doesn't get any better. It always gets worse. And we are a big part of it. Yesterday I did on the show, it was about reading a book. Okay, stay with me. Don't me off, okay? It was about 10 benefits of reading, and I want to go through that again. I'm not going to go through a lot of detail or a lot of specifics. I'm just going to give you the 10 benefits of reading, okay? And I think reading is one of the fundamental rights that we have. Okay, the 10 benefits of reading are mental stimulation. That's number one. Number two, stress reduction. Number three, knowledge. These are 10 benefits of reading. Knowledge. Number third, knowledge. Number four, vocabulary expansion. Now, if you want to hear the details on the specifics, you know, podcast or download or archive the show the day before this one. Okay? And that would be on the 7th, Friday the 7th. 2015. Download that show and listen to it. So I give a lot of detail. Okay, number five, memory improvement. Number six, stronger analytical skills. Number seven, improved focus and concentration. Number eight, better writing skills. Number nine, tranquility. Okay, number 10, the last but not least, free entertainment. I don't know how free it is if you have to buy it, but those are 10 benefits. Okay, I hope I'm not too close to the mic. I could be. Those are 10 benefits of reading. So at some point, pick up a book, go to the park, or sit in your den or your living room or your room or whatever, and just sit back and enjoy a good book. Turn off the television. Turn off the computer. Get rid of the video games. Send the kids outside. Sit down and enjoy a great book. I love to read. I'm an avid reader. I mean, I have about 100 books, if not more, in my own personal library. And I have maybe 100 books or more in my Kindle library, on my computer. And I have books all around the floor. I'm kicking them every time I walk, but I do pick them up because I love books. I love them. It doesn't matter. I mean, I read books all the way back to the, 17th and 16th centuries, you know, because I love books of those eras. You know, I love Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, I am such a fan of Edgar Allan Poe. I mean, you wouldn't believe how much of a fan I am of Edgar Allan Poe. You know, I mean, I think it's not only the stories that he writes, it's how he writes. It's how he writes his prose. If you don't know anything about Edgar Allan Poe, hey, look him up. He's all over that. And just read. It doesn't have to be anything you want. Just it could be magazines, newspapers, anything, brochures. Just read, okay? Just read, all right? And another favorite writer of mine, Robert Ludlum. I mean, he's passed away. I think he passed away in 2001. He's a writer of the Bourne trilogy, Bourne Ultimatum, the Bournes. If you know him, you know his work because most of his work has been made into movies. So my problem here, my thing is read. And in the coming shows, I'm going to have a show called 100 Ways to Live to Be 100. That should be exciting. 100 Ways to Live to Be 100. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We got about 8 more minutes into the show. I will be right back. Stay with me, stay with me, and stay with me. Yeah, I'm just looking here. Unarmed college athlete shot dead by police. I think I mentioned this once or twice on this show. African-American, unarmed, shot by a police. And I keep saying to myself, when is this going to stop? We have got to stop this thing right now. What is it? And these guys on stage the other night did not address gun violence. That's another thing they did not address, gun control. Because one of the reasons why you didn't hear anything about gun control from the Republicans, and you never will, because most of them are in the pockets of the gun lobbies. They are being paid and bought off. Something has to be done about gun violence and gun control. But the Republicans don't want that. They control Congress, the House of Representatives, and they control the Senate. So, and they, like I said before, they are Republicans, and they do not want any kind of control over guns, any kind of regulation. And this is just crazy. Without those two issues being covered, I mean, people will keep on dying, especially African Americans, by the hands of white officers who think they're Rambo or somebody. Tough, macho. I'm a cop. You better do what I say just because I'm a cop. You know, they think they're your boss. They get their feelings hurt. They think they're tough. They get their feelings. If you hurt their feelings, you may wind up with a bullet in your head. It's just crazy the way this keeps on happening. Another kid with a promising future gunned down. The details is, let me see, before I go any further, let me see what the details, let me see what they're saying. Okay, young unarmed black man killed by cop didn't want to die too young. He said he did, obviously he was afraid he was going to be gunned down by cops even before he was actually gunned down. Unarmed black teenager in Texas, this happened in Texas, was shot dead by a cop who had recently graduated from the police academy. This guy just became a cop. Just over a week before his death, a Twitter account that appears to belong to 19-year-old Christian Taylor, the young man who was shot and killed, includes messages about being afraid of dying young. So he tweeted that he was afraid of dying young, and suddenly he died young. Okay, here's his tweet. His tweet is, "I don't want to die too young." And what happened? Lo and behold, he's dead. And he was 19. He was a teenager, 19. And it's just awful. Okay, here are some details on what happened. Now, I don't know if I can believe them. There was no, from my understanding, there was no videotape. The cop wasn't wearing any kind of camera, body camera. So we don't know. Cops in Arlington, Texas, responded to a burglary called around 1 a.m. on Friday when they came upon the suspect, Taylor, who had crashed his vehicle into a car dealership. Police said a struggle ensued between Taylor and the 49-year-old officer, Brad Miller, before Miller fatally shot the suspect. The officer graduated from the police academy in March and was working under the supervision. He was working under the supervision of a training officer. So basically this is telling us is that the guy probably was just fast on the trigger and shot somebody. He wasn't even a seasonal cop. He was under supervision, and he shot the guy. And now he's been put on death leave instead of being totally fired or totally charged with murder. Okay, it goes on to say that police said Miller had no experience prior to joining the Arlington Police Department. He has been placed on paid leave, administrative leave. Why do they keep paying these cops when they shoot somebody? It's totally racism. It's racism. We have to have a serious discussion about racism, and we have to put some action into it. Obama has talked about racism. He's talked about it, but he has not put any action behind it. And that's one of the things I hate about Obama. He talks a good game, but that's all it is talk. We want to see some action, something done about gun violence and racism in this country, and why the police officers keep on gunning down unarmed black men, young black men, and getting away with it. But this, I don't know if he's going to get away with this or not, but I'm hoping he does not get away with this, okay? And we have to figure it out. I mean, there's going to be more to come to this in the days ahead, and I'm going to be dead on it because I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see what they're going to do with this guy. I'm pretty sure they're going to do something. And I want to say something about Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, he is still under investigation. He is still, someone just whispered in my ear, 60 seconds. He is still under an investigation for rape. Patrick Kane, one of the superstars on the Blackhawks, Chicago Blackhawks team. He's under investigation for rape. Now we're waiting to see what's going to happen with that. He's been under an investigation for about 3 or 4 days. We know what's happening. The police in that part of the town, New York, Hamburg, is gathering enough evidence, and then they're going to take it on TV and tell us what's happening. So we have to wait for that. But it's a sad day in sports. It's a sad day all over. This is George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be back on tomorrow at the same time. Please join me. And I would like to say a thanks to Sabrina Fraser. Goodbye, everybody. See you tomorrow. Thanks. Let's see what we got here. Goodbye, everybody. See you tomorrow. Thanks. Oh, second time, right? Okay. Take care, y'all.